listening to Football in Europe, the weekly podcast covering the game across the continent.
Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode 4 of Football in Europe. I am Rob Daly. Thanks for downloading. Alongside me, Chris Parrott.
Hello. I don't know why I double helloed. I did. I was also suppressing a yawn, so that's probably why.
Oh, great start, mate. What did you have to at the weekend?
I watched CSKA Moscow. They drew. I'll tell you more about it later, but Spurs go there this week. So,
oh, and Spurs play at the new stadium.
New stadium, yeah. It's brilliant. And it should be a good game, I think. Lucina Traore, they're doing that thing when you sign someone who's 6'7" and then decide just to
play long ball. Benteke at Liverpool type.
Yeah, and he's one of those players who's not that good in, that sounds silly, but you know, he's so big that he doesn't tend to jump, so actually it's a futile
exercise. He's bad in the air for a big man.
Okay,
good. Thank you very much for all your tweets this week. We're going to get to your weekend highlights. We're going to talk about the Bundesliga very shortly indeed. Loads of great stories in Germany at the moment. But we've got to get through your Rubens. Chris, remind people what Rubens are.
Knowing your Rubens.
Yeah.
Basically, great stats or bits of trivia.
Just
that
little
you could,
facts and
you know,
nuggets.
Tell your mate, and they'll be like, oh, where did you find that? And you'd say, and it's named after Ruben,
who's your
mate's workmate.
yeah, that is it. Okay, so here are some Rubens, Chris. Mason Lemon sent this one in. Totti reaches 250 Serie A goals a week before he turns 40. Not bad. We're going to talk about Francesco Totti. 40 years old.
I know.
Ronaldo turned 40 last weekend. Brazilian Ronaldo.
And he's been retired for about 15
yeah.
years.
Rich Allen says, Toulouse beat Paris Saint-Germain with the youngest starting 11 this season. Just an average, I think this is average age of 22 years and a 17-year-old goalkeeper with a man-of-the-match performance.
22. That is
staggering.
Very young.
Yeah, we're going to get on to Liga very shortly. And we've got a trivia teaser in, Chris. This is from Big Footy Teaser.
Yeah, well worth a follow, by the way, that.
Well
they
worth
have some
a follow on Twitter, yeah. It's been five... We don't know the answer to this. It's been almost 5 years to the day that an Englishman has scored in either Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga or Liga. Hashtag Rubens.
We have asked for the answer, so hopefully...
Who is that? I genuinely...
Well, I've been racking my brains. In my head, and it was wrong, I was like, oh, can't be Michael Owen. Obviously, that's longer than five
that's
years.
So long ago, yeah.
But there's so few English players that have played abroad.
Yeah, I was thinking, is it Michael Mantien? But I did look that up, and it's not.
Joey,
he didn't score a league
Joey
goal.
Barton, did he score?
No, he mustn't have done. That's in the last 5 years. Joey Barton was
yeah,
at
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
He scored in the Europa League for them, didn't he? He scored from a corner, but... Okay, you better tweet us that before we finish this.
Chris, find out the answer a week today.
What's your Ruben?
My Ruben is to do with CSKA Moscow, with Tottenham. Coming up, Igor Akinfeev, their goalkeeper, Russia's number one as well. He's conceded in his last 38 Champions League games.
Spurs will score.
Which is a run that goes back to 2006. And his last clean sheet was against Arsenal. But it's 10 years since he's kept a clean sheet in the Champions League.
Very good.
And what I think makes it more impressive is that CSKA are a team who play in the Champions League almost every season. They haven't been like out of it for...
No.
8 years. So, yeah, 38 games in a row in the competition that he has kept. Not
Vincent
kept
Janssen.
A clean sheet.
Vincent
Son
Janssen.
Son Heung-min.
Sure. Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. He is on fire, isn't he, that guy?
Yeah.
Second goal of the weekend.
I love Pochettino.
How about this? Here's my Ruben, Chris. Diego Alves is now the all-time best penalty saver in La Liga history. He saved 17 penalties.
Really?
That's 44% of the kicks he faces. So nearly every other penalty he saves.
Really?
And how about this? In cup competition, he's saved 3 out of 4 penalties he's ever faced in normal game time. 75% saves.
That is a heck of a
record.
That
is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I was going to say cheat, but I don't know how you can cheat with a penalty as a goalkeeper.
Keep your Rubens coming in. Hashtag Rubens to us at Football in Europe. Weekend highlights. Let's go through some of these quickly. Mr. Walker Porter, friend of the show, says Totti scoring again. No other words needed. Brian Saunders says Chicharito's hat-trick for Leverkusen is hard to deny, a winner in stoppage time. James says the quiet rolling juggernaut that is Nice, as well as Napoli, looking up at the task of challenging Juve. Nice top of Liga at the moment. Donald McCrory, we'll get onto this in a minute. Feyenoord beating all in front of them. 7 out of 7 league wins on top of the table. And David says Werder Bremen's first win. Weird story this. Alexandru Mechea tweeted us, Chris, to say... his highlight of the weekend was Monaco head coach Leonardo Jardim quoting a Kipling poem at his press conference.
It's a new one.
Yeah, that is it. I mean,
I imagine some of the journalists would be like, who?
Yeah. It was the third stanza. I haven't heard the word stanza since school. It was the third stanza from If.
It's definitely the first time we said stanza on the podcast.
It is. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like an Emil stanza joke. That's awful. From
or
If.
Or his brother.
And he gave it to journalists printed on A4 paper. Chris, do you want to read out what the third stanza from If actually is?
Yeah, but more importantly, when did he print this off? Before, presumably.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I mean, if you lose, well, you don't hand it out.
I don't know
obviously.
If it was post-match. He's not... Andrew, where's the info, mate?
Yeah, well, this is it. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of a pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. Intonation was all over the shop because I had...
Do you know what? The first four lines, really good.
Was it?
Four lines, oh. It was awful.
I fell apart because I hadn't read it before I read it.
Hold on.
It's like one of those terrible wedding speeches that someone just turns up and goes...
I wonder if this is because they did lose 4-0 to Nice in the week. That probably is it. You lose 4-0 to Nice.
That's a good... It's good PR, isn't it? Don't... Like, if you can do something so mental and out of the ordinary that people are talking about that, they won't speak about the defeat.
Did you see he gave everyone a poem? It's like when Russell Crowe did that.
Exactly.
He read out a poem at the BAFTAs.
Or did anyone ask about the 4-0 defeat? No, we were just asking about the poem.
Yeah, well, where did that come from? Okay, let's move on, because we're getting off track now, because it's time to talk about the Bundesliga, Chris. Bayern won 1-0 at Hamburg at the weekend. Mats Hummels picked up a knee injury and may miss the Atletico game. But a late goal from Joshua Kimmich gave Bayern the win.
And then Hamburg sacked their coach. Which seemed... I mean, they've lurched from one crisis to another, but... OK, they've lost the game, but they actually played pretty well.
Well, what I'll say about this, Bruno Labbadia's been sacked as the Hamburg manager. I think it's the second time he's been sacked as their head coach.
Yeah.
Basically, in midweek, they were like, they are so bad, they're going to sack him. So then it was like, you don't give the new coach the Bayern game, do you?
Well, yeah, but sometimes...
It's a free hit for Labbadia.
Sometimes you do because... Or you put a caretaker in charge for Bayern because you know you're going to lose anyway. It's just as a PR exercise, suddenly it's like, well, they played all right yesterday. I mean, I accept you know, there has to be big changes there, not just with the coach, by the way, but just something about the fact they ran Bayern so close. Kimmich scores that very late goal and then it's... And he isn't sacked because of the Bayern defeat. Of course, but still.
Yeah, exactly, that is it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interestingly, so they're talking about who could come in and take over at Hamburg.
Yeah.
And Andre Villas-Boas is heavily linked, Chris, because he posted recently, I think it was on Instagram last week, that he's studying German, and he worked with the club's CEO, Dietmar Beiersdorfer, at Zenit for a couple of years.
That's an interesting one. I mean...
You could see it. They've also been linked to former Hoffenheim boss Marcus Gisdol, but you could see AVB.
That's one of those very... There's a few jobs in England like that you think recently. Villa might be one of them. But big club, but so much wrong with it that it seems like a big gamble to take over. I mean, like a bit like David Moyes of Sunderland. You know, it's picking your job is important because you need to have a fighting chance of being successful where you go. So, I mean, he was very adamant that he wanted a whole year off after he left Zenit. I don't know if his family would move to him to Germany. They might do. They didn't move to St. Petersburg.
His last jobs, he hasn't really had a struggling team, has
no,
he?
Big...
So it's Zenit, Chelsea, Spurs, Porto.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to think. Is that it? That's it, isn't it, for him? He hasn't had a team that he's had to like save from relegation or anything like
no,
that.
No.
It would be a different.
It'd be very
challenge.
Different. And all those, you know, well, I suppose he has been at football clubs which have been fairly dysfunctional, I think, behind the scenes. Chelsea, certainly when he was there.
At the time, yeah.
And then they ultimately didn't back him when he tried to get rid of all the old players, and a lot of those old players are still there now.
Yeah, and they won the Champions League that year, didn't they?
Well, yeah. But, you know. So I think it'd be an interesting appointment. I mean, as I said, he clearly missed, you know, he had his third child last year. And his barely
that was
saw
it.
Him.
He wanted to be back in Portugal.
Yeah, he basically didn't see them. They lived in Portugal. He lived in St. Petersburg, and so he said, "I want a year off." There'll be lots of offers for Andre Villas-Boas. Is all I'll say.
Like in England, people still
in
have
England,
this
no, but
negative
in,
opinion
so
of him.
I mean, I think Hamburg potentially is a great job, but there'll be, I don't think if he turns down Hamburg that he wouldn't be short of another offer in 2, 3, 4 months, if you see what I mean. So big decision for him.
So why post something saying you're learning German?
Well, that's, yeah.
Is that to, are you trying to get club's attention? Are you trying to get media speculation to push you towards German-speaking jobs?
And he, both, he probably didn't post it, did he?
Some media, yeah. Some BR person. Okay, so we'll keep track on that. Marcus Gisdol will probably get the job tomorrow. That'll be rude. Dortmund beat Freiburg on Friday. Aubameyang, Piszczek and Rafa Guerrero, who looks unbelievable in midfield.
Yeah.
They got it. Thomas Tuchel got him onto the training ground. People remember he played left-back for Portugal at the Euros, and he said, almost instantly in training, we realised he was too smart to play only left-back. Because apparently in France, they're saying, they're playing him left wing, they're playing him centre mid. He scored 3 goals in 4 games.
Really good
goal. None of them free kicks.
Really nice in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A bit like Charlie Austin's finish almost against
a lot of people are comparing him to Charlie Austin. Yeah, it's true. Werder Bremen picked up a first win of the season, beating Wolfsburg on Sunday. They came from behind to win that game. Of course, they recently sat their manager, Viktor Skripnik. Chicharito scored 3 times. Leverkusen won at Mainz 3-2. A late goal from Javier Hernandez. A bizarre sort of header, but it was a perfect hat-trick. Left foot, right foot, head. So not bad from Leverkusen. Frankfurt 3, Hertha 3. Chris commentated on this one at the weekend.
Nice.
Humdinger.
6 goals.
6 goals, and the lead changed 3 times.
Frankfurt are doing well.
Yeah, they are doing well. 10 points from 5 games.
Yeah.
Hertha have 10 points from 5 games, which is their best start to a season in 46 years.
Do you know something? So they played Bayern in midweek, and I was looking at some of the
odds. Hertha did.
Hertha did. When they both won their opening 3 games, I think.
That's right, 100% record, yeah.
They were 16-1 to win that game.
Were they?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, fair enough, they're playing Bayern, but you win 3 games in a row. 16-1 is like a League Two side against a Premier League team in the cup.
Absolutely.
They didn't win, so
they
you would have wasted
3-0.
Money.
And Ribéry and Robben both scored in that game. They're very much back for Bayern. It's such a squad. So I think they're going to win the Champions League, Chris.
Do you?
Why? Who do you think?
It's very hard.
Oh, come on, you can't.
I quite want Juventus to win it. I don't think they will.
No, I don't think
I think Manchester City might win it.
Oh, huge. Gladbach faced Barcelona after a 2-0 win over Ingolstadt. Not very convincing at the weekend. Rafael is a doubt for the Barca game. And Dirk Schuster left Darmstadt in the summer. He beat his former employers 1-0 as Augsburg head coach. Chris, RB Leipzig seem to come up every week on the show.
They do.
They drew 1-1 at Cologne. The match kicked off 15 minutes later, around 100 Cologne fans sat in the middle of the road to block the team bus, the Leipzig bus, Leipzig bankrolled by Red Bull, from getting into the stadium.
A friend of the show, Archie Rintup, was posting some pictures of it. Loads of people with placards saying no to Red Bull and all this and death of football and stuff like that. They are this club who just hated by absolutely everybody.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I don't think it's going to stop them on the pitch. And it's a shame because otherwise, you want Oliver Burke to do really well, which he is.
He's doing brilliantly.
I mean, he made his first start and he scored after 5 minutes his first goal. But it's kind of like he's playing for this football club that, no, if he was playing for Mönchengladbach, for example, he'd be like, it's so good that Oliver Burke's doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It still is for his development. Finished 1-1. But yeah, I mean, Cologne fans seem more than most to be, if anyone was going to have that type of protest, that it might have been them.
Yeah, they have a very hardcore ultras section, the boys with a Z, and they were the first club to win the first ever Bundesliga.
Yeah, exactly.
So they see themselves very, very traditional.
Yeah, very traditional. And I wonder if it's all, I don't know, but big university city as well, whether that has something about, you know.
It's a very liberal, happy city.
Exactly. So. Yeah. But of course, then the Dortmund fans, they boycotted the first game in Leipzig, didn't they? So, I mean, I think it's going to go on all season. And sometimes I wonder if other clubs will see what Cologne fans did and say, yeah, we'll have a bit of that. We'll do even more and then it will carry on. But on the pitch, Leipzig have started very well in their first season back. And the problem for everyone that doesn't like them is they're here to stay, unfortunately. So you're going to have to get used to them.
Schalke enduring their worst ever start to a Bundesliga season. They've lost their 5 opening games.
Another Ruben,
that is indeed. Markus Feindsel took over after being Augsburg manager. He was expected to do very well with them. But I commentated on them lose at home to Cologne on Wednesday.
I know that
really they were very, very poor.
They're another club where things are going well. It's all brilliant, but you know, they are such a great German name that when things aren't, that it, I think it lurches into crisis. Initially, Benedikt Höwedes has basically said that it's difficult when some of your teammates aren't playing for the team, which is didn't name names, but that's a sort of comment that
strong words,
very strong words,
absolutely. On the way, Joe Casanelli, a Spanish football writer for The Times, is going to be joining us very shortly. Chris, we're going to have to rattle through this Liga section now. PSG lose again.
Yes, crisis.
2-0 to Toulouse. Crisis. Give me it, Chris.
Well, it probably is. This is the problem when you... they've now lost as many games in Liga this season as they did in the whole of last season. Two.
Wow, they almost went unbeaten.
This is a team who won the title by 31 points last season and by a country mile the year before under Laurent Blanc. They're fourth. They're now 4 points off Nice, who are top. They dropped points in only 8 games last season in the league. They've already dropped points in 3 games. I'm not surprised necessarily because they lost their coach. They got a new guy in who domestically, I think this will be the problem now because people will start looking at Unai Emery's, well, they already are in L'Equipe, who aren't. They're not particularly,
very impressed.
They're not very impressed, but they're also not, they're pretty hard anyway, as we've discussed many times. So they claim it will be a crisis now if they don't beat Ludogorets in the Champions League. I'm not sure what a crisis entails exactly. I can't believe that Emery's job is really under threat. But clearly things are taking a little bit of time to bed in.
What's this beef between Emery and Ben Arfa?
Well, I mean, he came out publicly and said that he's told Ben Arfa that he's not Lionel Messi. And I think on the training ground, there's, you know, Ben Arfa hasn't forced his way into an 11.
Hasn't even been in the matchday squad.
He was so good last year. I did always worry that a move to Paris Saint-Germain might not be the best option. Mm. And it's interesting to see how he reacts, because when the chips have been down in recent years, he hasn't necessarily reacted in the right manner. He's just got to get his head down and try and force his way into the team.
He certainly does. Patrick Kluivert, sporting director, says Toulouse played very well, but it's up to us to give everything, and we did not hear. Yeah. Elsewhere, Mario Balotelli, 2 goals for him in the midweek, 4-0 success over Monaco. Remember, Monaco beat Spurs in the Champions League. Balotelli scored 2, and then he was rested for the 1-0 win at Nancy at the weekend. It seems Lucien Favre is being very careful with Balotelli, and it probably is quite a good tactic to not play him every game, have him in the limelight on every occasion.
And not just that, I mean, I can't imagine he had much of a pre-season. He didn't play much last season. So I think Favre said, and he can't possibly be 100% match fit.
Well, he was training with Liverpool, but not with the first team.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wasn't playing in the friendlies and stuff like that.
So, he's missed that. So it might take him a couple of months to truly get up to speed, which from Nice's point of view bodes very well if he's scoring as many as he is now without that. They're top of the top. That's a great tale
they lost Ben Arfa, their best player. Yeah,
for all the Paris Saint-Germain troubles, if Ligue 1 can have even the semblance of a title race this season,
that's
a very good thing. So I wonder, like, L'Equipe are obviously going to have to report this Paris Saint-Germain, but they're probably secretly thinking, okay, well, at least we might actually get some good games at the end of the season.
Balotelli, by the way, is set for a recall to the Italian national team after his form. And it's worth noting, Lucien Favre, a year ago to the past few days, quit his Gladbach club boss after losing his first 5 matches this season in Germany.
Which, given what was talked about Schalke.
Exactly. Same record. Also, Lille are bottom, Marseille fourth from bottom. I think we're going to have to talk about that another week, because it is time to call Joe Casanelli.
This is Football in Europe, La Liga latest.
Joining us now is Spanish-based football writer Joe Casanelli. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Not too bad, mate. Let's talk about Valencia. You're in a train station or something. What's going on?
I'm going back to Madrid. I've just had a quiet weekend at the beach.
Oh, excellent. Very nice.
Just about to get a train.
Well, I hope you're
back
in work mode.
Madrid for the Champions League this week.
Oh, okay, right, fair enough. So, well, let's talk about that, because Atletico, I saw you tweeting, played on Sunday, and everyone else in the Champions League played before that. So Atletico are playing Bayern this week. They haven't been done any favours by La Liga.
In their wisdom, the Spanish league decided to schedule Atletico's game on Sunday. As you said, the only team in the Champions League of all 32 group stage sides to actually have their game played on Sunday. So, you know, they're only playing Bayern Munich on Wednesday.
has Simeone or anybody said anything about it, or have they just accepted it?
No, they've actually accepted it. Simeone was asked about it, but he said, you know, there won't be any excuses against Bayern. He was very dignified with his answer. However, there were reports in the media earlier in the week that he was that the club in general were absolutely furious with the league's decision, which is unsurprising as well, you know, seeing that they put the other three Spanish Champions League teams on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if you'll mention it if they don't get something from Bayern as well. Can we look at the other end of the table? Valencia, what on earth is going on?
Well, Valencia, where do you start, really? I guess the place to start is to maybe say it wasn't all Gary Neville's fault. because, as has been proven by his replacement, Paco Estarán, the knives were out for him pretty quickly. He's gone. And the eternal caretaker manager, Voro, a man with a quite unbelievable record when he does take temporary charge of the teams, is doing what he does best. He's come in, helped Valencia get a couple of wins, get up the table. Now he got off the mark, which would be pleasing for a certain agent to see his players doing well there. And, you know, the only problem is that Marcelino, the former Villarreal coach, had been earmarked to take over as the Valencia manager. He was let go by Villarreal at the start of the season. However, La Liga rules dictate you can't take charge of two different teams in La Liga in the same season.
Mm.
Well, what's happened here is that Valencia have appealed to the league and the federation, saying, well, he didn't actually take charge of any games for Villarreal. He left them before the season started. However, the league rules, I understand, state that it's from the 1st of July. On the 1st of July this year, he was still Villarreal manager. So they're going to have to look around for...
So you can't change clubs. If a big club, say Barcelona, had wanted him, and it was a couple of games into the season, they couldn't have bring him in as manager?
Nope. For example, if Quique Sánchez Flores was flying high with Espanyol, sure, and another club came in for him, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, whoever, not until the next season would you be able to take over.
Really? Well,
it's a curious rule. I mean, could you imagine that in the Premier League? It wouldn't
happen. Sam Allardyce would have been pretty ruined on the many occasions that he's changed job. Valencia did get a win away at Leganes 2-1. They really needed that, Joe.
Yes, Valencia, if ever a team needed a win, it was them. And once again, they had that man, Diego Alves, in goal to thank.
Penalty-saving machine.
Para-penalties, which means that penalty stopper.
I like it.
Yeah, but he's got a long list of victims, which include Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Diego Costa and co. So it's not an unimpressive list. He's now broken a La Liga record as well. He's made 17 penalty saves during his time in La Liga.
Wow.
So impressive, isn't it?
At Valencia, what's the view of Peter Lim now? Obviously, you know, he took Gary Neville there. We know he's in charge at he's involved with Salford City. But, I mean, the Valencia fans can't be too happy. Since he's taken charge of the club, that they've sort of lurched from one crisis to another.
Valencia fans in general are pretty, they're notoriously combustible and have sort of ideas above their stations, shall we say. they quite often, they think that they should be challenging for a league title, which you have to say is admirable. And you know, they think that they should be right up there. However, you know, when you look at the budgets of Real Madrid and Barcelona, and now what Atletico Madrid have done, they can't really compete. So there is that. You have to factor that in. However, the way that since Peter Lim has come in, you know, he brought his mate, essentially Gary Neville, in to do a favour, which is how it's kind of transpired, and that was obviously a bit of a disaster. You can imagine that this fan base you know, this combustible fan base is not happy, think that they wouldn't be sorry to see him leave.
Joe, at the weekend, Real Madrid were held by Las Palmas to a 2-2 draw away from home. Great result for Las Palmas. But I've seen the media in Spain are making a big deal of Ronaldo being subbed off. Is this? I mean, I don't really see this as particularly a big deal. But he looked angry in the dugout, which I think is why people were a bit upset.
Yeah.
Is this just always the case, this kind of thing happens?
Yeah, well, if looks could kill and all that. you know, I think it was the first time in his 7-year career at Real Madrid that Cristiano Ronaldo had been substituted for tactical reasons, you know, other than...
That is incredible.
Sometimes he's been taken off, you know, if the team are winning 4 or 5-0, he's been taken off for a rest, and sometimes with the, you know, if he's picked up an injury, he's come off, of course, but with regards to an actual tactical substitution, it's not happened until now. I think everyone might have seen the tweet his mum put out, which might not have done him any favours.
what did they say?
Of Cristiano. It was a picture of Cristiano in the dugout, and she kind of said, like, never let your head drop, was the quote that went with
mum.
The tweet.
So, you'd be like, mum, I'm not even mates with my mum on Facebook because of this kind of thing.
I'd be like, mum, get off social media.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, so unfortunately that happened for him. So, I mean, what you have to say in Zinedine Zidane's defence is that he's, you know, he's shown that he's a manager who's not afraid to make big decisions. He doesn't care, you know, who you are, what your reputation is. You know, if he thinks that for the good of the team, you need to come off, which, having seen the game, you know, would, you know, Ronaldo wasn't at his best. He hasn't been at his best all season thus far. He was, you know, instrumental in the comeback against Sporting in the Champions League. However, even I think the most staunch Real Madrid fan would admit that he didn't actually have that good a game, but still put in that free kick at the end. So I think what the context around this needs to, you know, you need to look at it in the fact that it was actually for the good of the team. But on the other hand, you know, with him off the pitch, Real Madrid conceded, drew their second game in a row, and ended up losing points.
Yeah, indeed. Lionel Messi, if we're going to talk about Ronaldo, we should speak about Messi. Barcelona hit 5 past Sporting Gijón, but he's out for 3 weeks. How do you think Barcelona will be able to cope in the meantime?
Well, they didn't do too bad a job this weekend, did they? They looked all right without him. Last season, they had to cope with him for a big chunk, without him, rather, for a big chunk of last season, if you remember. And I think they scored 18 goals without... they scored 18 goals and 17 of them were from either Suarez or Neymar. So there's obviously going to be now a big reliance on the Brazilian and Uruguayan, who both stepped up and looked the part at the weekend. Obviously, the Champions League, they go to Mönchengladbach this week, which will be a tough tie. And he's in a race against time now to be back for the City game in around a month. But I think with regards to domestic fixtures, I think that they'll do okay, and they might actually benefit from, you know, in a strange way, from Messi putting his feet up for a month and coming back into the setup in a month's time when he's, you know, fresh and ready to go.
Absolutely. Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We'll let you get on with your eventful sounding train journey.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's good. Yeah, we'll speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
For more, head to the website, footballineurope.co.uk.
And a big thanks to Joe, as always, for coming on the podcast. Chris, the final part of the show now. We're going to be getting through Serie A, and we're going to be previewing some of the European football in action this week. Can you remind people of the trivia teaser? Because you do actually have the answer now. I don't have the answer.
I do have the answer, yeah.
So what was the question
when
again?
You know the answer.
Why is it?
Well, because, you know, like, if you're ever the person that sets the teaser, it's so much fun, whereas if you're trying to get it, it's infuriating.
Okay, what was the question again?
It is. It's been 5 years almost to the day that an Englishman has scored in either Serie A, La Liga, the Bundesliga or Ligue 1. Who is it?
Oh, is it Beckham?
No. Beckham is not the answer. Oh. It's not DB.
When was he in Serie A and Ligue 1? Annoying.
Close.
Okay, we're going to do the answer.
No cigar. It would be quite amusing if it was wrong now.
Is it easy?
No.
Should you get it?
When it's as ever, once you know it, you'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot he went abroad. That's a little good little clue in itself. Clue.
Please leave us a review on iTunes if you do enjoy the show. We had maybe my favourite ever review, Chris, this week.
Yeah.
From George Pinder. He gave us 5-star review on iTunes. He said, this podcast makes keeping up to date with the European leagues something which can be daunting and time-consuming endeavour, effortless and enjoyable. It is accessible and full of intelligent insight, which, in my opinion, transcends the sensationalist analysis of other TV pundits with a dose of engaging humour. That's the nicest review we've ever had, probably.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
That's basically what you want. That's what we want, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of makes it all worthwhile.
It does, indeed.
Also, you see how hard it is when you haven't read something to do the right intonation.
Yeah, I know, yeah, it was all over the place.
You would have muddled through Kipling,
mate,
I tell you.
Mate,
would have destroyed
when
Kipling.
I was practicing at home, I almost wrapped it. Thanks, George, for the review. And if you can leave us a review on iTunes, that's also very much appreciated. Chris, you've been across Serie A this week, so tell me how Joe Hart enjoyed another success with his Torino teammates.
Yes, he couldn't do much about Francesco Totti's penalty. But yeah, they won. Torino beat Roma for the first time since 1990, which is quite the result. Edin Dzeko had one of those days that Edin Dzeko sometimes does, and
certainly since he moved to Roma, he
couldn't hit a barn door.
Yeah.
Yeah, great win. And Luciano Spalletti very unhappy. He came out, criticised and questioned the attitude of his players. You know, coaches always seem to do that. Early season loss, they go really big with the press, just to. As if to say, I don't want to see that again for the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
But a good start, a great win for Joe Hart. And, yeah, I mean, he's gone there. He's the number one. And
he made some good, he actually made some good
it's
saves.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens at the end of the season.
Well, City don't.
Yeah, exactly.
City don't want him.
No, no, so it's going to happen. He's going to go somewhere.
There, I don't think.
No.
I mean,
but where he goes will be really interesting. Mm.
Two wins in a row for Juve after that loss to Inter in the Derby d'Italia. Good response from Max Allegri's team.
Yeah, and back top because Napoli didn't win in midweek. Did win two at the weekend. Yeah, they beat Palermo 1-0. They played Mandzukic and Higuain together. It should be interesting to see how that works.
Interesting.
I don't think they will at the back end of the Champions League if they get there. I think it'll be one or the other. But good win. Napoli as well, just behind them. Mentioned they drew with Genoa in midweek, but they beat Chievo at the weekend. Gabbiadini, who was Everton target, I think, priced out. And Marek Hamsik scored. Milik didn't start but came on. They've got another big Champions League week for them. And having beaten Dynamo Kiev, I think, in their first game. If they can get 6 from 6, they're
in a great position.
They're in a great position. Yeah. But again, I think it's going to be. It's really nice when teams that do really well under a new coach like Sarri at Napoli last season, that it isn't a one-off. They lost their main man Higuain, but they're going to be there or thereabouts, and it bodes very well for a good title race. Another nice little thing: Diego Simeone. We spoke about him. His son scored.
Oh yeah, tell me about this.
It's a great goal as well. First Serie A goal for Genoa against Pescara. I mean, Simeone was spent not most of his career, but Lazio and Inter. He's loved in Italy.
Yeah. Linked with the Inter job in the future as well.
Well, yeah, and his son scored. I'd love him to sign his son.
Would you? Is that a good idea?
It's a terrible idea, but could be the Atletico Alex Bruce.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, no, Steve Bruce is out of a job at the moment. So.
That's true enough. Linked with Stoke.
Linked with Stoke.
The paper, yeah. But take note. Speaking of Premier League clubs, Chris, we've gone through all the teams that English Premier League clubs are facing in Europe this week to give people a guide.
Yes.
On what to expect. And let's start with Tottenham. They take on CSKA Moscow, CSKA Moscow. Chris, you commentated on them at the weekend. Tell us about them.
They, Russian title holders, Leonard Slutsky, who was in charge for Euro 2016. Yes, Russia were awful, but he did an exceptional job to even get them there in the first place.
And
after
he was juggling two jobs.
He was juggling two jobs. He almost didn't win the title because of that. Basically, Fabio Capello left the Russian national team in disarray, and they don't have that many talented players, actually. So Slutsky did a great job to get them there, so don't think just because they were bad at Euro that he's a bad coach. Mm. He's probably the... Well, he's seen as the great Russia coach of his generation. Famously fell out of a tree and hurt his knee when he was a player. So
was he saving a cat?
He's saving
a cat,
which is why. Yeah. So they drew with Krasnodar. I commentated on the game. Second game in their new stadium, which is awesome. It's got It's, well, from the outside, it looks like an office block, which it is, essentially. But inside, it looks brilliant. And one of those office blocks is shaped in the shape of the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
So they won it in 2005. Amazingly, still with Akinfeev in goal and with Berezutsky and Ignashevich at centre-half.
So they've got that ageing pair at centre-back. That'd be encouraging for Spurs.
Really encouraging. They've got Traore up front, who, as I mentioned, that they sort of go a bit direct. They have some really nice ball-playing central midfielders. They've got a liability as in defensive midfield, Pontus Fernblom, who is a bit of a hatchet job.
He doesn't ever get sent off.
He doesn't ever get sent off. I don't personally think he's quite up to it. I think Sissoko and Wanyama will be able to do a better job for Spurs.
Okay.
And then they have, Ignashevich is 37, and Berezutsky, who actually tweaked his hamstring on Saturday at the weekend.
Vasily Berezutsky.
So he might not be fit. Don't know yet. Alexei Berezutsky would come in.
His twin.
Mm. But still, that's a combined age of 34 plus 37. What's that? I'm terrible at maths. 71.
Yeah.
71. Spurs.
We both had a panicky face
then. Spurs should do what England didn't. And
play
they
Jamie
will
Vardy.
Play Jamie Vardy. No, they can't play Vardy, but instead of just playing, you know, their pace will be, I think, will be too much.
Just knock it over their heads. I've seen it so many times that they concede that way.
However, the one thing I would say, and I know this section is supposed to be quick, is that if Sisca were to win, they'd be 4 points ahead of Tottenham because Spurs lost and they drew.
Lost to Monaco,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's not insurmountable, but it would put Tottenham in a very difficult position.
Don't lose this game. Eric Dyer scored a free kick against Akinfeev at the Euros, didn't he, as well?
Yep.
Just remember that. Alan Chagoyev, by the way, looks brilliant this season in a deeper role, so let's see how well he does against Spurs. Let's go quick fire. Porto go to Leicester. The King Power Stadium hosts its first Champions League game.
The KP. 3-1 winners against Boavista at the weekend. They're third. They didn't win the title last season. And they're 3 points behind Benfica and 2 points behind Sporting as things stand.
Basel go to Arsenal. And an occasion for Xhaka and Elneny, former Basel players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of these great things about doing the show, apart from spending so much time with you, Rob, is that you find things out. They're 13 points clear in Switzerland after 9 games.
What? Have they won every game?
They've won every game.
Oh, God.
That has to be the most one, now that Paris Saint-Germain aren't as good, or so far.
Yeah.
That I can't believe there's anywhere which is more lopsided than that. They have won the last 7 titles, and they're halfway to winning an 8th title already.
Dear Lord.
13 points clear after 9 games. Mathematically, that must almost be hard to beat.
Barcelona, off the back of the Chelsea win, this is going to be...
Well, I mean, you have to beat Basel at home.
You have to beat Basel at home.
And I think Arsenal probably will. 20 years this week as well, isn't it, since Wenger took over, or he was appointed and then had to finish his job in Japan and then came over. I mean, it is hugely impressive, even if they haven't won a title for a number of years. But they should have enough for Basel. But, I mean, that is a ridiculous start to the season.
Celtic face Manchester City, of course. And then in the Europa League, Chris, Hapoel Be'er Sheva, people remember them from a Celtic game.
Yeah.
They take on Southampton. I'm commentating on this one this week for Air Sport in the Republic of Ireland. Can you give me some pre-research tips on Hapoel Be'er Sheva?
Yeah, they're quite interesting, actually. They won their first title for 40 years last season. They're basically a city in the south of Israel, and it's the start of the desert afterwards. So they're run and owned by a woman, Alona Barkat.
A woman?
In football, and particularly, I think, in Israel, that was a first. And she's basically taken them from perennial underachievers to a team that have won the title. They have a young coach and they're brilliant at home. And they showed that by beating Celtic.
Mm.
But they have an excellent record at home, which I discovered after 5 minutes of research.
Very good. And Manchester United, you cover a lot of United games. So I presume you know all about Zorya Luhansk.
Zorya Luhansk, Ukrainian Cup winners.
You look panicky.
won the cup last season.
In Ukraine.
They were second tier up to 2008, so they're another side who have, you know, impressed, shall we say. And the only thing, obviously, Luhansk, if you type that into Google, is the epicentre of the war that's going on at the moment. So even more than Donetsk, it's front line for Ukrainian and Russian troops, which is why they're playing in Odessa. which is a long, long way away from Luhansk, somewhere we've been, actually. And
yeah, went to Odessa
together. It's on the Black Sea coast. So that's where Manchester United will go to when they go to Ukraine.
Match day six.
But yeah, I mean, Luhansk is, you know, we've spoken about Shakhtar being displaced and having to play in Lviv. But Luhansk really is, you know, frontline territory. So I think for Zorya to have made it into Europe will give the people of Luhansk and those supporters at least something to cling on to.
And Manchester United, do they need to win after losing to Feyenoord? It's a must win, isn't it, at home at Old Trafford?
Yeah, I think they will do as well.
OK, Chris, to finish the show, what's the answer to this trivia teaser?
Well, have one more guess or it's not. It's really hard.
Give me the club or something.
OK, shall I give you the league?
That's still... Oh, yeah, go on, give me the league.
Liga.
Oh, God. Who went over there?
Lille.
Joe Cole?
Yes.
Oh, man, I didn't even need the Lille bit.
That was... When I saw it, I was like, oh, I totally forgot that he went over there for a season.
Very good.
Yeah.
Can we get a, we're putting this out to Big Footy Teasers, who did send that to us. We're using the hashtag Ruben. Can we get one of those every week to annoy listeners so they don't focus on anything for the whole show?
Let's do it, because they're really good. Give it a follow.
Big Footy Teasers. Big Footy Teasers.
Do you know, it's one of my favourite commentary lines of all time. When I think it was Andy Gray said, Pele was Pele, Gazza was Gazza, Joey Cole is Joey Cole. I don't know what that means.
My God.
It's good though, isn't it?
Look, I'm not laughing. Joe Cole was like...
Brilliant.
Sensational. Joe Cole was wonderful. But that is really funny because I don't know what his point is.
Nor do I.
Chris, are we done?
We're done.
Are we on the are we doing Champions League together?
We are. Wednesday night.
Match day live. UEFA.com and the official UEFA Champions League app. And on TSM Radio 1410 in Canada.
Yeah, there we go. You don't even need the prompts.
I know.
The
I used to need
give you.
So if you do want to hear more from me and Chris, God help you. We're on air on Wednesday. But until next Monday, goodbye.
Goodbye. This is Football in Europe.